Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Our guest today is a well-known attorney in the film industry, Hal Corky Kessler from Deutsch, Levy & Ingle of Chicago. Corky regularly speaks on the business and legal aspects of feature film development, including tax incentives. He's participated in seminars and conducted speaking engagements throughout the United States and Canada and on legal issues impacting the entertainment industry. He's also a lead speaker for many years at various film festivals throughout the country, including the Toronto and Sundance Film Festivals, where he's conducted seminars on funding as well as legal and business pitfalls, screenplays through distribution. Corky has been the attorney on numerous film projects across the country, and he's represented and served as executive producer on feature films and theater projects, and he's just back from China with $200 million in co-financing for China and USA productions. I know that most of us are very happy to know that you have got as many wonderful things going on, Corky. This is quite an achievement for you.
Yes, it is. Okay, so...
Would you tell us about your trip?
I most certainly will. I was brought in by a company called Academic Travel, and they find hosts to lead groups to various foreign countries on business trips to learn about what was going on. So they contacted me a few months ago and said, would I lead a film group to China? And actually, there were six of my clients that signed up to join me on this trip to China, and we spent 7 days in Beijing, where we met animation studios, we met distribution companies, we met marketing companies, we met casting directors, and we were wined and dined throughout the entire trip. During one day, I spoke at the Beijing Film Academy, which is one of the, if not the, best recruiting for film all over China. Business professionals come and attend. So I spoke there, and it's the second time that I have done that. And on one of the days, on Tuesday, all over television, they showed me signing a memorandum of understanding on $200 million, 10 co-production deals with China and the United States.
Wow, how exciting. That's so much money these days, because so many filmmakers have been reduced to shooting or budgets under $1 million. So this would be, what, an average of $20 million a film?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
It could be even less, and we'll do more. So that's what's going on.
I just wanted to stay on the tour for a minute. You say that you went to the distribution, a place in China that does distribution. Is that only Chinese distribution?
Yes, it is.
And so you, in other words, if people in America had films they wanted to distribute in China, are you working with that company? Could they contact you about it?
They can contact me. I'd have to be hired to sort of work on that aspect. But yes, they can contact me to get into the hands of distributors in China. The question is, though, it can only be shown in China if it meets its censorship requirements, but we would look at each project separately.
Okay. Is it a tough censorship?
No. No.
Okay, good. All right. That sounds good.
I mean, it can't be a film that talks about governments, regardless of whose government, and it can't be a film that has a gay or lesbian content.
Okay. All right, so let me ask you about the marketing company. Do they do a lot of marketing on the social networks?
There's a huge marketing company in China who I've been in correspondence with, and it's considered one of the best marketing companies, if not the best marketing company in all of Asia. It's called Far Reach. And they have an animation arm too, but Far Reach, and it's really called Reach Glory, Glory. And I've been having correspondence with the CEO, and his name is Ben. And for Reach Glory, he's looking for film projects and animation projects as to market and also to co-fund even.
Oh, how wonderful. Okay, Reach Glory, and the CEO has been film projects and animation.
Right, right, right.
Okay, yeah. And so they use social networking?
Yes, but in China. But they don't have a lot of social marketing places they can do it because a lot are banned.
Oh, I see. Okay, good. Well, when the people, everybody who went with you on the trip then, they got to meet all these people personally. Will you be doing another trip?
Probably next April for the Beijing Film Festival.
Okay, and that would allow them to have someone escort them to the festival and introduce them to people and things like that?
Yes, we had someone escort us and we had chauffeurs.
Oh! What fun. Go.
Yeah,
well, tell us more about the Chinese market.
The Chinese market is so great in film that the revenue from film just in China will be greater than the entire United States in 3 years.
The more than the revenue of the entire United States?
Yes, yes.
In film production?
No, in revenue from theaters.
Revenue from theaters. Wow. So, in other words, the people have the money to go to movies, and they're really enjoying more films. It's exploding, I guess.
Oh, it is totally exploding. Studios are being built. In fact, Raleigh Studios built a studio outside of Shanghai.
Oh, how wonderful. And they were talking about that when you were there?
No.
Well, so are they building theaters with the three or four plex like they do here in America?
Some are doing it. Every week, two new movie theaters open up.
Oh, my gosh. So, So they take American films, but they have subtitles? Is that it?
Yeah, but there's a quota. 42 films are the max that they can do outside of China.
A year?
Yes.
So in other words, they only take in 42 films a year made outside of China. But if you make it inside of China, you can get it distributed there?
Yeah, that does not include official co-productions that the government approves. There's no limit to those.
Okay. Well, let's get back to your co-production. You want to give us some of the requirements for people who have screenplays, or what state should they be in before they come to you with a film?
It must be a screenplay that lends itself to China culture, meaning culture in the United States. It should be a project that could attract some talent, and it could be a project that you could spend some dollars in filming in China. They want drama, and they want action.
Okay.
They don't want comedy.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because, comedy doesn't sell foreign well anyway, but They want the two projects. I mean, and one of the projects that I'm already doing for the fund is one starring Jackie Chan.
Oh, good.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
And what about documentaries? Are they included or not?
Yes. If they're foreign.
Okay. Well, so if someone has a script and they have, do they need to have anyone attached to it or not? Just a good script is enough to come talk to you about it?
Yes. A good screenplay and a good script and a good story that lends itself to co-production would be a good starting point.
All right. And then you become their attorney and you do all the paperwork for them, right?
That's correct.
So you
Corky,
would do...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The business plan, the private placement memorandum, what would that entail?
Well, that would entail minimally a limited liability company with the operating agreement, subscription agreement, and the investor questionnaire, and potentially a private placement memorandum if they want to also publicly solicit, market, and advertise their investment documents.
Okay.
That's under the new Jumpstart Act that we talked about before.
Right. Well, tell us, just give us a brief overview of how that works.
Jumpstart Act started in April 5th, 2012, and it's in very summary fashion. It says if you have a PPM or an PPM and an LLC for a film project, although it says a new business, so we're talking about a film project, PPM and an LLC, and if you're going to go after only accredited investors, then you can publicly solicit, market, and advertise your investment documents for the first time ever in the history of the SEC. If the amount you're going after only is up to and not exceeding $1 million, then you can go and combine unaccredited with accredited up to a max of $1 million, but that investment has to go through an SEC-approved portal to accept it and then pay out.
Wow.
Okay, so
do we know what approved portal would be?
No, they are now filing with the SEC to be approved portals.
So companies are filing to be an approved portal, like a crowdfunding company or someone like that?
I mean, it could be Kickstarter.
Uh-huh.
It could be From the Heart Productions, Carol.
Oh, really?
You could petition to be a portal.
Okay.
And the portals usually keep 5 or 10% and then kick out the balance.
Okay.
So it's a very fertile ground. And after the election, we'll get back to recruiting for the extension of the federal incentives under 181.
Oh, yes. You thought last time we spoke that there was some potential that it might be reinstated. Where does that stand now?
It stands where we got to wait till after the election.
Ah, the whole world's on hold till that. And then... You're involved in that personally, aren't you, Corky?
Yes, I am.
So you're working with the senators on it?
I am making the calls that I need to make.
Good.
I'm sort of doing it behind the scenes.
Right. Well, that was one of the greatest gifts that we had for a lot of years. I'm sorry that we lost it. If there's an inkling to get that back, just explain one quickly what that 181 does.
181 gives the taxpayer who invests in a movie or television project the ability to wipe out or substantially wipe out their federal taxes by investing in a qualified film or television project.
Right. So you helped a lot of films raise money with that before, didn't you?
Yes.
So you give us an idea of how much money they were able to get back on what percentage from their films? 20%, 50%?
They were a 35% taxpayer.
Uh-huh.
They put $100,000. They saved $35,000 in taxes.
Wow. That's a great benefit.
Uh-huh.
Well, all right. So that we'll hope to hear back on what happens in the future on that. But, Corky, I know that you every year you seem to be at Sundance. Are you going to be there this year in 2013?
Yes, on January 21st, we're having a panel. We only charge $15 for 3 hours, which is the price of a film ticket at Sundance to come, and we have a funding source. We've got Mary Verneau, one of the biggest casting directors, on board to be on the panel. We cover marketing and line producing and business plans and lawyering. And we've got a huge panel. But this year, also after the panel, if they pay an additional $35 in the afternoon, we're all going to be at separate tables speed dating, sort of to speak, and they can come and pitch their projects to us, and we'll all get together and decide who gets between $1,500 and $2,500 for the development of their project.
Wow, what a great award. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yes.
How many people do you normally have at your seminar?
About 100.
Great. So you would have to be speed dating for 100 people to pitch.
Well, no, I hope that it's not 100. It has to be people that are seriously into the development of their projects.
Right.
Because we're only going to pick those that are in really an active mode.
Right. They have someone, they have a screenplay, they have someone attached, they're ready to get some funding to move to maybe casting or some of the first steps, right?
Right.
Well, so, give us some tips that you give to filmmakers in your seminar.
Well, it varies from time to time. We talk about pitfalls and things you need to know so you avoid the pitfalls, screenplay through distribution. And it takes on a different flavor every year we have done it.
Well, a lot of people nowadays are saying for distribution that even if you get a theatrical distribution for a very low-budget film, let's say a film that is under $1 million, maybe a $750,000 film, even if you get a theatrical distribution, the time, the effort is hardly worth the return that you get from the film showing in a theater. What do they talk about that in your seminars?
They do. The distributor does. That's on our panel.
Okay, because a lot of
But there was an article in the Chicago Tribune last week that talked about films that are making a profit just by their success in the VOD market.
Yes, the VOD and other distribution medias. And building a market on your own website.
All right. Right. So each film has a life of its own, and it has to be guided by industry professionals that are on their team. And I did a seminar for Bill Duke and the Bill Duke Foundation about 6 months ago, and the title of the seminar was What Your Lawyers Don't Want to Tell You. And we had a packed house.
Oh, I bet you did.
Well, give sounds us like a good book title, too.
I love that title. Well, give us a couple of tips from that seminar, Corky.
The tip was that a lot of lawyers don't want to work with you in the development process to roll up their sleeves and help you build teams. They don't want to tell you things like films that are distributed and made approximately between $3 and $5 million, over 90% of those turn a profit. They don't want to spend time to tell you chain of title and chain of documents, how it's critically important to moving your project forward. They don't want to tell you that in any service, in every service contract, you cannot have injunctive relief as a damage part. So there are a lot of things that they don't tell you.
Courtney, wow. I would wonder why some of those things they would not want to tell you. This may be obvious to some, but the question just begs to be asked.
Pardon?
Well, there are many things that the lawyers don't want to tell you. What would be one of the reasons that they would not want to tell you some of these things?
Because they're not getting paid to do it. They don't think about telling you. They don't think they need to. That's why I have a significant amount of clients in Los Angeles that come to me, because I provide tremendous value-added services at no cost to my clients.
Yes, I'm sure of that. I know that from many people who love, everyone who works with you loves it. They feel they're in confident hands. And I know you're very big on building a team. So just give us a little bit of a pep talk on how do you create a good team?
Well, look, first of all, there are a lot of times as a project begins to move forward, it moves forward on business principles. So I don't wear the legal hat. I wear the business hat.
Okay.
And a lot of times it's you've got a screenwriter or you have a producer that's got a good project and just doesn't know how to move it forward. Then we sit down and we find out who's on their team so far. Who do we need to get on their team? Do we need a distributor on their team at a very early stage? Do we need a casting director on their team at a very early stage? Is it a film that I can get a distributor interested in at a very early stage? It's getting a line producer that also can write a budget for a reasonable fee. So it takes on different flavors depending on what kind of project it is.
Exactly. Well, these are critical issues, very critical. Well, okay, Karki, I just want to go back over what the procedures are to be clear for people who have a good screenplay, and now this has to have content in it that would be acceptable by the Chinese government, and it also has to lend itself to to a story about China.
Well, it doesn't have to be a story about China, but it has to be a story that lends itself to money being spent in China on their film. Story has to be a story that the Chinese government will approve in a co-production deal. It has to be a story that is drama or action, according to my clients, with the funds. So there is a project that we're working on that's been accepted by the fund called Father John, and it so happens that a State Department person, CIA intelligence person, who was stationed in China to help solve this murder and this gang issue, used the inspectors and the police in Beijing to help solve a big crime. Based on a true story, that's a story that lends itself.
Good. And so the filmmaker came to you and brought the script. Is that how it works?
Yes.
Contact you by mail or by telephone or?
Both. And they hired me to help them.
So
wonderful. Well, Corky, could you go ahead and give us that contact information now so that we can be sure to share that with the listeners?
My contact?
Yes, please.
Okay. My phone number is 312. This is a direct line to me. 312-853-8448. My email is Kessler, K-E-S-S-L-E-R, at D as in David, L as in Larry, E as in Egg, C as in Charlie, DLEC.com. And my cell number is 312-925-2110. If anyone is in L.A. and wants to meet with me, I'm there this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, principally for some business at AFM. In fact, there'll be two funding sources from China there. So that's my contact information.
Okay, wonderful. Now, we have about 3.5 minutes left. Just wanted to let you two know so that we can be sure and cover the most important things for the rest of the show.
Okay, well, let's hear your itinerary for like November through the rest of 2012 and into 2013, so people will know where they can see you and meet you in seminars and film
festivals. I'm going to be in L.A. November 1st to the 4th, Thursday, and I come back Sunday. And I'll be in New York November 17th, 18th, and 19th because Steven Spielberg invites me to sit at his table for this big charity event that he has at Chelsea Pier on the 19th of November every year. So that's my travel itinerary until I go to Sundance in January.
And then what about Berlin?
I'm going to be in Berlin. It's on my table now to be in Berlin leading funding sources in February at the Berlin Film Festival.
Oh, gosh, that'll be lovely. Now, in Dallas, Texas, that's my hometown. You're going there?
I'm going there for the Dallas Film Festival. I'll be speaking there on April 10th.
Great. Well, let me go back to this Chelsea Pier event. What a wonderful thing to have Spielberg have you at his table. What an honor.
Yeah, well, in the last 3 years, I donate for the silent auction, a Sundance experience, and he has a charity that benefits children of Chernobyl, and it's a huge black tie event, and I've been privileged to be at his event the last 3 years.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I'll bet it's a great success, too.
They raise a lot of money.
I got to work with him on the Shoah Foundation when I had my film company. We sold him a gazillion Betacams, Maxell, together a very low price, and I was really honored to be part of that Shoah Foundation.
It's when people come to me, usually there's a lot of things I can do to help them depending on their project. And I don't promise anything, though.
Right. It's all up to, every film is different, I'm sure.
Yes.
Right?
And Carol, your foundation is so important to the industry. So people should come to you and From the Heart Foundation and help you and be involved with what you're doing, because you're a tremendous a friend to the independent filmmaker.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much, Karki. I love what I do. I think I'm very blessed to get to work with filmmakers. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. And I look forward
Karki.
To helping some of your people.
Sure.
Oh, yes. Very much. And we want to remind our listeners that you can contact Karki through his website at DLEC.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. And good luck with your films, everyone. Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice, fair use, successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com.